Let's go to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, for our scripture lesson here this morning. Matthew, chapter 25. And I am going to read the first 13 verses of that chapter. Matthew, the first book of the New Testament. I hear pages turning. That's a good sound. Okay, if you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Let's stand while God's Word is being read here this morning from the Gospel of Matthew. God's Word says this, and this is Jesus talking. He says, "At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight the cry rang out, 'Here's the bridegroom! Come out to meet him!' Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out.' 'No,' they replied, 'there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves.' But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went out with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. 'Sir, sir,' they said, 'open the door for us.' But he replied, 'I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour.'" Let's go to God in prayer. Father, all of your scripture has been inspired by your Holy Spirit. And it's all for training and teaching, correcting and rebuking, so we can be equipped for our work and our service for you. Father, I just pray that you will give me the words here this morning, the words that need to be spoken to your people here. You have appointed me your spokesperson, and I just trust, and in faith, I just say that you will have me say what you want me to say. I also trust, Lord, that our hearts will be right and ready to receive what your word says, Lord, and that we can learn and grow here this morning. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Different generations have been defined by different names. But the one I want to kind of talk about here this morning is a generation called the baby boomers. Have you ever heard of that word being mentioned before? The baby boomer generation. Depending on where you look and what source you're looking at, the baby boomer generation could have been anybody born from this year all the way through this year. So I'm just going to make life a little simple for us here this morning, and I'll make up my own definition for the generation of baby boomers. I'm going to say the baby boomers were anybody that was born between the year 1946 and 1960. So that range right there, if you were born in that range, you are a baby boomer. Now, I grew up in a family, as most of you know, back in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We were all baby boomers. My oldest sister, Christine, was born in 1948. My sister, Juanita, was born in 49. My sister, Denise, was born in 51. And I was born in 53. I did have a brother that came 11 years later, but that does not qualify him to be a baby boomer. A lot of babies were born during the baby boomer generation and time. That's why I guess it's called the baby boomers, because babies were being born left and right. It was the post-World War II era, and certainly for my neck of the woods in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, I grew up in a very, very Catholic neighborhood. So when you combine post-World War II with Catholicism, you have kids all over the place, okay? You do. Kids everywhere. Every family had at least five kids, if not more, and you kind of wonder, where did they put them all and how did they feed them all? But this is a little story of how the baby boomer generation affected my school. The year was 1965, and I was starting the seventh grade. And in the seventh grade, right there at the beginning of the school year, our church and school, which was together, come up with this policy, and this policy said this. I still remember it was in our church bulletin, and I read it, and it said that if you have four children that attend the Catholic school, if three of them pay for a cafeteria ticket, the fourth one may be eligible to eat for free. I mean, that's what it said. I still remember it was on a Monday morning, and my older sisters, one was Christine, she was a senior. My sister Christine was a senior, my sister Juanita was a junior, my sister Denise was a freshman, and I was in seventh grade. And I woke up that Monday morning, and as my mother always did, she always packed my lunch. And before she packed my lunch, I said, "Mom, you don't have to pack my lunch today." And she said, "Why?" And I said, "Well, the school has this new program where I get to eat lunch for free. Because Christine, Juanita, and Denise are paying for their tickets, I get one for free." I still remember my mother said this, "Are you sure?" And I said, "Yes, I'm sure." She said, "Okay, I won't pack your lunch." Well, I get to school that day, and everybody that went to school with me, and we've been going together for a number of years, knew that Mike Owen always brought his lunch. And when it came lunchtime, I sat at my desk and ate my lunch, you know, and some people went home for lunch and some people went to the cafeteria. Well, this day I was going to go to the cafeteria. So my best friend Paul, he was kind of happy that I could go to the cafeteria with him. So we went down, and the cafeteria was in the high school, which was across the street from the elementary school. So we got in line, and I'm walking up in line, and like there's the lady right there who takes the tickets. Now, you had a ticket that cost a dollar and a quarter, and each day was 25 cents. It was 25 cents to eat a meal. So the ticket was good for 5 days. And what would happen was you'd give her your ticket, and she would punch it until the ticket ran out, and then you'd buy another one. Well, it's my turn. I finally walk up to the lady. She said, "Where's your ticket?" And I said, "I don't have one." And she said, "Well, that will be 25 cents. And I said, "I don't have any money." And she said, "Well, how do you expect to eat?" And I said, "Well, the school just came up with this new program that if three of the students, you know, go to the school and they pay for theirs, then the fourth one gets theirs for free." Well, the three paying ones would be my older sisters, so that means I get mine for free. And the lady looked at me like I was the most idiotic person on the face of the earth. She said, "Son, what's your name?" And I said, "Michael Owen." And she got this piece of paper, and she said, "How do you spell that?" And I said, "M-I." She said, "No, I know how to spell your first name. How do you spell your last name?" I said, "A-U-E-N." She said, "There's no Michael Owen on this list." I said, "There's got to be a Michael Owen on the list." She said, "Your name's not here." I said, "How about Christine Owen?" "No, Juanita." She said, "There's no Owens on the list. Your name's not on here." She said, "I'm going to have to ask you to move aside because I got to get the rest of these kids in line and get them through." So I kind of move aside, and I look at my friend Paul, and Paul looks at me and he says, "I guess you're not going to eat today, are you?" And I didn't. I didn't have a lunch. You know, a boy in seventh grade doesn't make it through the day very well without a lunch. And there was my friend. But here's the point I'm trying to make. The bulletin. Had I really read the bulletin with the program and the details, said that you may be eligible for this discount, but you need to apply for it. And then they would check you out, check out your family, and look at whatever they needed to look at. And if they did, you got your name on the list and you got a free lunch. I don't know if my family was eligible or not. I assumed they were eligible. Did I apply? No, I didn't even apply for the program. I just went down and thought that everything would just be ready. It would just be there, and it would just happen. Well, it didn't happen because I was unprepared and I was not ready. Which leads us to the sermon for this morning and the message in the scripture. Our scripture lesson this morning is Jesus answering a question for the disciples. The disciples ask a question back in Matthew 24, verse 3, and they ask him this. They say, "Tell us, when will this happen, and what will be the signs of your coming and at the end of the age?" And Jesus goes on at this point and tells them, I believe it's the, did you know that his response to this question is the longest answer of Jesus to any question that is asked of him in the Bible? I believe if you total them up, I believe it's something like 96 verses it takes him to answer just that one question. And he's certainly referring specifically to end times, because their question is this: when will these things happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and at the end of the age? But I'm going to take a little bit of spiritual freedom here and apply that in a kind of a different direction here this morning. We don't know when the end times are coming. Sure, we could probably look at the signs, we had an earthquake, we've had hurricanes, and we see all these natural disasters that are going on, and we see mankind, how they are slipping up and really falling by the wayside, and we can kind of put two and two together and say, you know what, I think the end times are near. And that could be correct, but even Jesus says that no one knows the day or the hour, so we cannot be specific as to when that's going to happen. Let's assume for the sake of this message here this morning that that doesn't happen for another 1,000 years. If it doesn't happen in another thousand years, guess what's going to happen to each and every one of us? We're going to die. We're going to die. At some point in time, our lives are going to be taken away from us. But the same logic applies. We really don't know when or how that is going to happen. The simple question is this: are you ready? Are you ready? Have you read the fine print in the bulletin? I guarantee this, each and every one of you in here, we are all eligible. We are all eligible. The question is this: have you applied? Because when you get into the cafeteria line and you get to the lady, she's going to want your ticket. So the question is this: do you have your ticket? That leads us to the parable of the 10 virgins. There's 6 different focal points that I want to bring out here this morning. The first is this: we know that there are 10 virgins. The second is they each have a lamp, so there's 10 lamps. The third thing, we know that there's oil. The fourth thing, we know that there's a bridegroom. Fifth thing, we know that there's a wedding banquet. And sixth, there's a door. We'll talk about that last. So in the analogy that I want to make here this morning is this: if we're going to use this parable as a reference to our last days, the end of us as we know it on the face of this earth as far as our death, the first thing Jesus says, actually it's the end of the parable, keep watch because you do not know the day or the hour. And I think we all understand that. We all might live another 30, 40, 50, 60 years. Who knows how much longer we're going to live? We also know this, that we might not survive the day because of some event. After all, we just did have an earthquake here last Tuesday, didn't we? And you never know when something like that could be the end of our lives as we know it. So we do know this. We do know that, let's assume for a second, death is going to come to us. So the question is going to be this, ultimate question: are you ready? Are you ready? In the parable, there are 10 virgins. And the 10 virgins represent people who supposedly are ready for the end. They think they are ready. They think they are ready because they each have a lamp. Now, I will say this. I think there are people on the face of this earth that they don't care, they're not ready for anything. And they don't care if anything ever happens or not. They just feel like, well, when this life of mine is over, I go into the ground and that's it. And we're not going to talk about that group of people this morning. We are going to talk about those who believe they are ready in some format, in some way. There are 10 of them. We know this. 10 are wise. 10 are foolish. So what's the deal with the lamp? And here's where it gets interesting. People who feel like they are ready, I'll just call them church people. They're church people. People like you and I. They go to a church every Sunday. Maybe not Beech Grove, maybe the Methodist church over here, the Presbyterian church there, or the non-denominational church there, or that church out in the Southwest. Who knows what that church is? I honestly believe that churches are filled with people who think they are ready. They all have a lamp. And to them, that lamp is their ticket in the cafeteria. So when they get to the lady who's taking the tickets, they just show the lamp. It's kind of a sad testimony because Jesus says it's really not the lamp that counts. It's what's inside the lamp that counts. You see, church people, there's church people all over the place. People who think they're okay because I attend church. People who think they're okay because, you know, when the basket goes down the aisle, I not only attend church, I put money in a basket. There's people who have a lamp and their lamp represents, you know, well, I sing in the choir. I got to be okay. My lamps, that's my lamp. My lamp is the choir. There could even be people who say, I serve on the church board. Look at me. That's my lamp. What else do I need? So I attend church. I give money. I might sing in the choir. I might even be on the church board. Or here's another one. They might even be the pastor. Ooh, they might even be the pastor of the church. Oh, that's my lamp. I'm pastor of this church. That's going to be good enough for me to get through the cafeteria line. The world is full of people with lamps, but not everybody has the oil. You see, there is going to be a day when the bridegroom shows up. And the bridegroom, in this case, in my analogy, is going to be the taste of death in our lives. We don't know when that's going to be. Is it tomorrow? Is it 10 years from now? Many people with lamps think, well, it's not going to happen anytime soon, so this is all I need, is just this little lamp right here. But there are other people, like a lot of us that I know in here, not only do we have our lamps, but we have the oil that goes inside it also. See, it's no big secret what the oil is. Everybody can have religion, which is the lamp, but not everybody has a relationship with Jesus Christ, which is the oil that goes inside the lamp. So I ask this morning, the lamp doesn't do you any good, so do you have the oil for your lamp? Because here's what's going to happen, my friends. At some point in time, that taste of death is going to come to each and every one of our doorsteps. And there's going to be no second chances. And you're not going to look at God and say, well, look, I got my lamp. I got my lamp. I attended church. I gave my money. I gave 10% of my money. I gave 15% of my money. I sang in the choir. I was on the church board. Or how about people like me? Wait a second, God. I was a pastor. Don't we read about people in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23 that say, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? And did we cast out demons in your name? And did we even do miracles in your name? And Jesus gives a response that I hope each and every one of us in here never have to hear when we go into eternity. And his response is this: Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. You can take the lamp of religion wherever you want to take it. But I guarantee this, it doesn't get you into the wedding banquet. The wedding banquet, synonymous with the lady in the cafeteria line. That's where I want to be. When I think of a wedding banquet, I think of a place that I really want to be. It's going to be a good place, a peaceful place, a fun place. There'll be food. If I'm lucky, they'll have fried chicken. And I think of the great meal that we had yesterday for the occasion that we had it for. And I can't help thinking that was wonderful what we had yesterday. And I don't know what kind of banquet Jesus is preparing. But ladies, no offense, but it's going to be a little bit better. It's going to be a little bit better. Okay? Yours was good. Trust me. Boy, that was great fried chicken. It was. But I think Jesus' fried chicken is going to be the best ever. And there's a banquet. And he's invited all of us. And we're all eligible. But have you applied? Have you read the fine print? He wants to invite you. And he wants you to come. The invitation is open to all. But he does say this in Matthew 22. He gives another parable. He talks about the wedding banquet. And all the people there had on their wedding clothes, except for one person. And somehow this person seemed to manage to get in without the wedding clothes. And the king says this, take that man and throw him outside, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Because you see, to get into the banquet, you have to have the oil in your lamps. You have to have on the right clothes. You have to be clothed with the justification and the sanctification of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And the scariest part about this whole parable has got to be found in verse number 10. We've talked about the 10 virgins, and they represent people who are ready. We've talked about lamps, and our lamps are just the carrier or maybe the religion that we have. The oil is what's important, the relationship with Jesus Christ. Is he our Lord? Is he our Savior? The bridegroom, death will come to each and every one of us at some point in time. He will show up, and we don't know when. The banquet, the ultimate place that we want to be. That's where we want him to take us. But in verse 10, it says this, and the door was shut. The door was shut. You see, there's going to be people who are going to realize at some point in time, a time when it's too late, that they didn't have any oil. And they're going to have this lamp, and they're going to get to that door, and they're going to knock and say, Jesus, let me in. And Jesus clearly says here, but the door was shut. And he replies, I tell you the truth. I don't know you. I don't know you. I don't know you. Four words that I hope that none of us in this sanctuary here this morning will ever hear when they enter into eternity. I don't know you. The words I hope that we all do hear, enter, my good and faithful servant, for you have done well. And it won't be our works. It won't be our actions. Remember, I told you once before, the only thing that we take to the grave with us is our belief. The only thing we leave behind is our character. Where is your belief this morning? Where do you put your trust? Where do you put your faith? Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 make it very clear. The Apostle Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says this, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that the Father raised him from the dead, you will be saved. A few verses later, in verse 13, he says this, all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. If we take those verses that I just repeated there, my friends, that's the oil. That's the oil we need to have in our lamps. And shame on those churches and those preachers who are preaching on other things and not preaching on the oil. They're preaching on the lamp. They got lamps. We all got lamps. Let's start preaching on the oil that goes into the lamps so that when the bridegroom appears and when the bridegroom shows up, that we make it inside the door before the door shuts. And Jesus never has the opportunity to tell any one of us in here, I never knew you. So are you ready? I don't know when your last day is going to be. I don't know when my last day is going to be. It reminds me of that dear lady. I didn't even know her, but many of you did, especially Frank, Opal Page. She's sitting in her house one night. Just another ordinary routine night until for some unknown reason two young men strung out on drugs come into her house and take her life away from her. I guarantee you that was the last thing that woman woke up and thought about that was going to happen to her that evening. There was a gentleman, I believe his name was Roy Thompson, one of my co-workers. She knows him rather well. I understand that he had a very serious bout with cancer. And just last week, he went in for some test, and they told him this. If you take the treatments, you may survive a year. If you don't, you may only survive but 3 months. Roy Thompson only survived about a week, and he has passed away. Praise the Lord that my co-worker said that he certainly was a Christian and he was ready. Not everybody gets the opportunity for a deathbed conversion, although there are deathbed conversions, mind you. That is true. There are. But we might not get that opportunity. So the question I ask this morning is this, the question that Jesus asked all of us, are you ready? Because we don't know the day or the hour. I can't help, and I'll finish with this. Needless to say, Gail and I have been watching a lot of the Weather Channel over the last couple of days to watch the hurricane come up the eastern seaboard there and find out where it was going to go, and hopefully that it wasn't going to do too much destruction to the people living on the coast. And if you're familiar with anybody on the Weather Channel, there's a gentleman on there, his name's Jim Cantore. Jim Cantore's on there pretty much all the time. I think he pretty much is Mr. Weather Channel. But he's a good guy. No matter what the weather situation is, if it's a tornado, he's in the middle of it. If it's a hurricane, he's in the middle of it. If it's an earthquake, he's in the middle of it. This guy just loves to be in the middle of, you know, that kind of excitement. But even Jim Cantore says this. Folks, and I don't know exactly, he didn't use the word stupid, and he didn't use the word idiots. But I will this morning, because I don't know what words he used. In effect, he said this, don't be stupid. Be ready. Be ready. I understand that there were people who have heard about this, know it's coming up the coast, know they got to be evacuated. And even Jim Cantore, the man from the Weather Channel, was saying, be ready. I guarantee when Jim Cantore told people over the television to be ready, I bet you there was a lot of people that probably heeded that call. They didn't heed this call of this news or this news or this news, but for some reason something Jim Cantore said kind of sunk in, and they probably said, you know what, we better get out of here. We better be ready for this. If Jim Cantore, the guy on the Weather Channel, can change the hearts of some people and have them be ready, I certainly hope God's Word can do much, much more than that. That God's Word clearly tells us, be ready. You know, be ready, Gail. Be ready, Glenn. Be ready, Greg. Be ready, Mike. Because you don't know when the day or the hour is coming. Do you have the oil for your lamps? Do you have the oil for your lamps? Do you have that relationship with Jesus Christ that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that, yes, I have confessed with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, and I know in my heart that the Father raised him from the dead, and I have called on the name of the Lord. And I don't care what day or what time or what hour he shows up, but not only do I have my lamp, but I have the oil that goes with it. And praise the Lord that I get to go to a banquet someday with the best fried chicken around. And somewhere after me, the door's going to be shut. And there's going to be a lot of people that are not going to be allowed in. But they had a chance. They heard the word, and they refused to believe it. You have heard the word this morning. The choice is yours. You have no excuse. If the door shuts in your face, don't tell them Pastor Mike didn't tell you so, because I'm giving you a warning this morning. There was an earthquake, there was a hurricane, and now there was Pastor Mike. And we're all telling you the same thing. You better be ready. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, your word here is not only full of warnings, but it's full of hope. We take the warnings, we take them seriously, and we have hope. We have hope of knowing that whenever that event in our life happens, either through death and you decide to take our life, or if it comes through the rapture of the church and you just decide to come back for the church and snatch us away and take us away. Father, the words of hope say that we can be ready, that we just need to give our life to Jesus Christ, that we need to confess with our mouth that He is Lord and believe in our hearts that You have raised Your Son from the dead. And for people like us, Lord, that have hope, that the warnings are not as severe because we understand them. Thank You for giving us this word that we could know ahead of time, that we need to prepare, that we need to have the ticket, that we are all eligible, but we need to apply. Just like I needed to apply for that cafeteria meal plan. So, Father, I pray if there's anybody in the sanctuary here this morning that hasn't applied, that they are filling out their application right now, Lord. That they are going to You, that they are crying out to You and say, I want into the banquet. Give me the oil for my lamp, and You will be the most generous person around. And give them not only what they need, but give it to them abundantly. I trust You for doing that here this morning, Lord. I trust that that will happen in churches all across America and across the world, that people will find the oil for their lamps here this morning, that when the time comes, that they will be ready. Father, change hearts this morning. Due to those people, due to Jeff and Della and the people who need a salvation experience, due to their lives, whatever they need to have done, Lord, that they can have the oil. So when we get to this great banquet, Lord, we will be with our loved ones and friends and family. We trust You. Thank You for warning us ahead of time. Thank You for giving us the hope that we have. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning will be hymn number 696, God Leads Us Along. Let's stand and let's sing. Thank you. some through the waters and some through the flood, some through the fire. But there's only one way to get through all that, through the blood of Jesus Christ. So the blood of Jesus Christ, the oil in our lamp, He paid the price for you and I, that for all who believe, we could have eternal life, make it to the banquet, just as long as you get in line before Romy, okay? It might be buffet. I don't know if it's sit-down. You know, I don't know how that's going to work, but that's okay. Romy, thank you for letting me pick on you, buddy. I don't know when end times are coming. I don't know. I'm not an end-time prophet by any means. I just know one thing. If it doesn't happen in this lifetime, we are going to all be taken away. So are you ready? Are you ready? Because I know I'm going to heaven, and I want to see each and every one of you there, okay? We can kind of sit beside each other and, you know, talk over old times. What's that, Rumi? And eat chicken. That's right. On that note, let's go to God.